And as promised, or threatened, one or the other, ladies and gentlemen, once again, we're joined for a community conversation by Fireman Kenny, Captain Kenny Aslin, West Bend Fire Department.
KMG 365 Fireman Kenny is on the air, helping you to stay safe in a world where danger never takes a vacation. That's working. I love it. All right, as usual, I got my monthly shout out. So I want to thank Jesse Honeyager of Cintas Corporation for conducting training on frequencies of inspection violations for fire protection systems. He was at West Bend Mutual on January 16th for the Wisconsin State Fire Inspectors Association Area 1 and Area 6 chapter meetings. Thank Cintas Corporation for sponsoring the lunch for the 70-plus people in attendance. And thank the crew at West Bend Mutual Insurance for hosting the training and hosting the meeting. That was actually supposed to be hosted at the West Bend Fire Department originally, but as the numbers grew, we were not able to have the capacity there. So West Bend Mutual stepped up and was able to take the large number of people that were in attendance. Also like to thank Gina and Tracy from Frederick St. Joseph's Hospital. They're both respiratory therapists who conducted some training at Station 1 on our new transport ventilator. So the training consisted of tidal volume and respiratory rate settings on the ventilator for patients who are intubated and transferred from St. Joseph's Hospital to another hospital, such as Frederick, for more intensive care. The transport ventilator we received was given to us from a grant from Firehouse Subs Foundation. So thank you to Firehouse Subs for that transport ventilator. That what the ventilator actually does is when a patient is intubated and unable to breathe on their own, previously we had to bag this person with a bag valve mask. And so now we have the transport ventilator, which frees up a person in the back of the ambulance to do other things.
Because otherwise you're just doing it manually with the bag?
Right, doing it manually with the bag. So every 5 to 6 seconds, squeezing the bag. And so transports down to Frederick, from St. Joe's to Frederick, are somewhere between 25 and 30 minutes. I've actually bagged a burn patient from St. Joe's to St. Mary's. Between the transport and going up the elevators, I was bagging for almost 60 minutes.
Wow.
So, yeah, and so this actually helps a whole lot more, keeping us available to monitor the patient's condition, give medications. We have two people in the back during those transfers, but this just makes it a whole lot easier.
All right.
All right, so now we're on to Matt Bennett's favorite segment, even though it's still our shortest segment, but it makes him laugh every time he hears it. Fan mail to Fireman Kenny, anything come in?
I hear crickets.
Nothing. Okay. Nothing. So I ran into Bob Stanzik from the Newburgh Fire Department at the beer tasting on Friday night, and he introduced me and said, "Hey, he's a celebrity." And I'm like, not famous, not even a celebrity, haven't received any fan mail, so that's not going to happen. All right, so now we're going to move on. I've created a new segment for the show. It's going to be the monthly sprinkler save. So again, I'm a sprinkler advocate and a card-carrying member of the National Fire Sprinkler Association. So I am a true believer in fire sprinklers. Again, they act before the fire department even gets there, putting the fire out in a very short period of time, or at least controlling the fire. Fire sprinklers are 96% effective in most instances. And when they do fail, it's because somebody turned off the water, or they didn't maintain the system. So maintenance of the system and making sure that things are working. But the Racine Fire Department had oily rags start on fire in a wood shop on January 15th. A sprinkler system was in place in the wood shop that suppressed the fire. The damage was limited to about $2,500 per the Racine Fire Department press release.
I'm thinking in a wood shop, it could have been a lot more.
It could have been a lot worse, burned the entire thing down. And again, that $2,500 was probably from where the fire started, as well as any water that happened. But that $2,500 without a sprinkler system could have easily been the entire building. Luckily, nobody was in there at the time, but that leads us to another discussion about oily rags. The Racine fire was caused by oily rags that were not properly stored. A recent fire in Beaver Dam was caused by freshly laundered towels that had been soaked from cleaning up cooking grease that started smoking and then burst into flames when Beaver Dam firefighters moved the towels. Here are the safety tips for oily rags from the National Fire Protection Association, the NFPA. Again, I'm a card-carrying member of the NFPA. Actually, that's kind of a lie. I don't really carry the cards in my wallet, but I am a member. I just check the stuff online. All right, so here's oily rag safety tips. Never leave rags in a pile. At the end of the day, take the rags outside to dry. Hang the rags outside or spread them on the ground. Weigh them down so they don't blow away. Make sure they are not in a pile. Keep oily rags away from a building. Put dried rags in a metal container. Make sure the cover is tight. Fill the container with water and detergent solution. This will break down the oils. Keep containers of oily rags in a cool place. Keep them out of direct sunlight. Keep them away from other heat sources. Check with your town for information on disposing them. And various tips from multiple sources include laundering commercial greasy or oily towels in hot water in a commercial extractor.
And that would be not just cooking grease, but grease, engine grease, et cetera, right?
Right. Yeah. Any oily towels, because your normal washer and dryer isn't set up to take out the grease and everything out of there.
Right. It'll get the pizza you get on your shirt, it'll take out of if you use the shout on it first.
Right, yeah.
I know from experience.
Right.
And but it's not set up to do the other.
Right, and that's why the commercial extractor, so hotter water, more detergent, more water in general to soak out the grease. You have a better chance if you're commercially washing those oily rags so that they get all the grease and oil out of there so they don't burst into flames and cause you some danger.
Sounds good. Well, and this is Burn Awareness Week.
Yes. So National Burn Awareness Week, sponsored by the American Burn Association, which I'm a card-carrying member. Again, don't carry the card with me, but I am a member.
You must pay a lot of dues.
I do. Because the thing is, like, let's say a lot of times people are spending their money on entertainment. I'm spending my money on good causes. Trying to promote the stuff. Oh, that's why I'm here. You know, I want to promote safety. And like, let's say when you join these organizations, they use a lot of that money to promote the stuff. So if you're a fan of the American Burn Association Facebook page. They've got all sorts of social media. So they've got the American Burn Association has got a Facebook page. They've got a LinkedIn page and they're on Twitter. So they're doing a great job promoting Burn Awareness Week, February 3rd to the 9th. So I've got some statistics for you, as I usually do. So I start with statistics to show you that it actually happens. Then I usually have a story somewhere in there. And then I have the safety tips. So as I say, every month things are happening. And again, we'll bring it up every month. People out there say this is all common sense. But again, it happens. So burn injuries continue to be one of the leading causes of accidental death and injury in our nation, where tragically children, the elderly and the disabled are especially vulnerable to burn injuries. Almost 1/3 of all burn injuries occur in children under the age of 15. Annually in the United States, approximately 486,000 people receive medical care for treatment of burn injuries. In 2016 alone, there were 3,280 deaths from fire and smoke inhalation, and another 40,000 people were treated in hospitals for burn-related injuries. That means that approximately every minute, someone in the United States sustains a burn injury serious enough to require treatment. So that 486,000 injuries per year equals one burn about every 65 seconds. Children under 5 are 2.5 times as likely as the general population to suffer burn injuries that require emergency medical treatment, and young adults ages 20 to 29 have a probability of burn injury that is roughly 1.5 times the risk of the general population. The primary cause of injury include fire, scalds, electrical and chemical. Most of the injuries occur in the home. Today, 96.8% of those who suffer burn injuries will survive. So that's up from years ago. Years ago, if you had a burn injury, way back before medical care and pre-hospital medical care got as good as it is, you had a greater chance of dying from your burn injuries. But now with all the medical advances, there's a lot of survivors who go on, even though they have serious scarring, lifelong physical disabilities and adjustment difficulties, they're able to live decent lives, and there's a lot of support systems available for those people. And each day, over 300 children are seen in emergency rooms and 2 children die from burn injuries. So again, here's my real life example. So I've known this person for a long time. So at burn camp, one of my former campers, she's now an adult. She's actually a counselor at the camp. So Nicole Zills has allowed me to share her story. Nicole's from Fond du Lac. And when she was 6 months old, she was scalded. She was in her walker. She hit the table with her walker and the table split open, and the water vaporizer spilled hot water on her, causing her scald burns.
Someday we're going to talk about the dangers of walkers.
Yes. Yeah. There is some dangers to those as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's so. And the Nicole story shows that it can happen to anybody. It can happen with something that's fairly innocent. A child, a 6-month-old child walking around in the walker and hit the table, and the table, the leaves broke open and then spilled on her. Nicole, I love the fact that my kids that were campers at one point are now, you know, it was great watching them grow up. She's doing great as an adult, and she's giving back at the burn camp. And it makes me really proud of all these kids that.
Oh, you bet.
And the thing is, I think I'm trying to think of how old Nicole was when I first got there. She was only 7 or 8. My first years at camp. And so it's great watching the kids grow up, being able to share their stories and be able to help other kids later on in their lives. So as always, now here's my prevention tips. So hot water will burn skin at temperatures much lower than the boiling point. So boiling point of water is 212 degrees Fahrenheit. In fact, it only takes 3 seconds of exposure to 140 degree water to cause a burn serious enough to require surgery. Hence, set water heaters at 120 degrees or just below the medium setting. A safe bathing temperature is about 100 degrees Fahrenheit.
Okay.
Use a thermometer to test the water coming out of your bathwater tap. Run your hand through bathwater to test for hot spots. Use the back burners and turn pot handles toward the back of the stove so children cannot pull them down. Use oven mitts when cooking or handling hot food and drinks. Stir and test food cooked in the microwave before serving. Open heated containers away from you from back to front. So that's a new one for me that I had not been giving out as a tip. So when you take something out of the microwave, open up any heated container away from you from the back towards the front.
So that in case something pops out or doesn't pop out in your face.
Either that or the steam as well. So right. it gets pretty hot when you're pulling stuff out of the microwave and out of the oven.
Sure.
Keep children away from the stove when cooking by using a safety gate for younger children and marking with tape a 3-foot no-kid zone for older children. Keep hot drinks away from the edge of tables and counters and avoid using tablecloths and placemats. So that's something that children can reach up and pull down. Keep cords for slow cookers and coffee pots away from the edge of the counter and out of reach of children. So if the cord is kind of hanging down, that's a natural thing for a kid to grab. And then next thing you know, anything that you're using on the countertop is going to come crashing down on a small child. Use a travel mug with a tight-fitting lid for all hot drinks. So my wife's actually got one of those travel mugs that sticks to the table. So it takes an adult to move that thing so it's not going to fall off the table and burn anything. And then last but not least, never hold or carry a child while you have a hot drink in your hand.
I want to add one to that. Never hold or carry a child while you have a cigarette in your hand or other smoking device, and too. We don't get that as much anymore, obviously, because fewer people are smoking, but that's one also.
Boy, right. It just
makes me really nervous when I see somebody that's got the kid in one hand and the cigarette in the other.
Yeah, and even though cigarettes are on the decline, vape devices are on the rise. So, and we've talked about the dangers with vaping devices. Yep. And the batteries and stuff. And so those things are hot. They have a heating element in them. And if you're holding a child, yeah, do not hold a child while you're smoking with either a cigarette, cigar, pipe, or a vaping device.
Burn and smoke. Not good.
No, for it's frowned infants.
Upon. Yeah. So keep that in mind as we go. February also American Heart Month.
That's right. So February is American Heart Month, which is sponsored by the American Heart Association. All right. So this one's I'm not a card carrying member yet of the American Heart Association. I will at some point when I get some extra cash. But American Heart Association is a great organization. If you're on America, I think it's heart.org. So $85 per year for the general professional or $270 a year for the premium professional. Again, these are organizations, and the American Heart Association does such a great job at compiling statistics and putting out messages, as well as they've got their social media. So American Heart Association has Facebook page, LinkedIn page, Twitter feeds. You want to follow those for a lot of great information. And so what they had recently, they had National Wear Red Day, which was February 1st. People wore red to raise awareness about cardiovascular disease and save lives. American Heart Month is a federally designated event, is an ideal time to remind Americans to focus on their hearts and encourage them to get their families, friends, and communities involved. The first American Heart Month, which took place in February of 1964, was proclaimed by President Lyndon B. Johnson via Proclamation 3566 on December 30th of 1963. So we're going over 50 years of people being aware of Heart Month and heart safety and heart health. The Congress, by joint resolution on that date, has requested the president to issue annually a proclamation designating February as American Heart Month. And at that time, more than half the deaths in the U.S. were caused by cardiovascular disease. So we've talked about that. When I talked about Stroke Month, which is coming up in May, so I talked about that last year. Stroke actually fell. I think I said it was second. Now it's like fourth or fifth. But cardiovascular disease is still up there, still the number one killer for people. So take care of your hearts. You know, we'll get into some tips and stuff. While American Heart Month is a federally designated month in the United States, it's important to realize that cardiovascular disease knows no borders. Cardiovascular disease, including heart disease and stroke, remains the leading global cause of death with more than 17.9 million deaths per year. The number is expected to rise to more than 23.6 million by 2030. President Lyndon B. Johnson's proclamation that first declared February as American Heart Month. Chances are we all know someone affected by heart disease and stroke because about 2,300 Americans die of cardiovascular disease each day, an average of one death every 38 seconds. But together we can change that. And according to the Centers for Disease Control, the CDC, heart disease is the leading cause of death in the United States. So that's 635,260 deaths in 2016.
I just want to sneak in here tonight, Keewaskum High School boys basketball game. It's their Get the Red Out night, and they are selling special red T-shirts to game. I believe they play North Fond du Lac tonight in Keewaskum, and the donation goes to the American Heart Society. I know that from when Andrew was here the last time talking about events they've got going on. So it's Get the Red Out night tonight in Keewaskum.
So yeah, make sure to attend that game and you said they're selling T-shirts, I believe.
Yeah,
so,
and yeah. I think if you buy a T-shirt, I think you get in the game free.
Oh, okay. So yeah, again, going to a great organization, again, trying to get promotion of how to keep your heart healthy and prolong your life and have a decent life. Because let's say, I've talked about it here, we've had a number of people, because West Bend Fire Department paramedics respond to a lot of 911 calls for chest pain, heart attack. And again, we are pretty, I want to say advanced with our treatments. So we get to, West Bend Fire Department is one of the few that, let's say, going straight to Fredert, we don't go through the ER. We go directly to the cath lab once the access center is activated. So we call the St. Joe's Hospital, which is our medical control. And so if we have somebody that is a confirmed STEMI, ST elevation myocardial infarction is what the technical term is, we go directly to the Fredert cath lab, saving time, saving heart muscle, and saving patients an ER bill as well. And so we do a lot of stuff, and because of the stuff that the American Heart Association has done, that has helped us help prolong lives and improve patient outcomes.
One thing I just remembered as far as the other part of what they're doing in Keewaskum tonight, at halftime, they're doing a demonstration on hands-only CPR.
Oh, I didn't know that. So yeah, if you haven't learned CPR, that'll be a great thing for the people of Keewaskum. So hopefully there's people that are going to be excited and interested in that. And I think it'll be a good thing. There's been lots of people. I think there was a story just recently about how somebody remembered CPR from watching The Office, because The Office, it is true that staying alive by the Bee Gees is at 100 to 120 beats per minute. They remembered that much, and they watched The Office and saw that they could do CPR and actually saved a life.
They just, the Pleasant Prairie Fire Department just gave a citizen award last night to a gal who's a nursing student. Saw a woman collapse in a parking lot at Costco and started CPR. And a guy who worked in the tire department at Costco was also a part-time EMT, grabbed an AED, went out, and they shocked this 60-year-old person and saved the life. The person was up and talking by the time paramedics got there.
Oh, another great story about people knowing CPR, having AEDs available. So again, all our community partners out there within their private businesses who have AEDs, and I can't tell you how many times I've heard of AEDs in private businesses that have helped save lives and people knowing CPR who've helped save lives. So hopefully all you people out there that are listening are supporting the efforts of the people who are learning CPR and supporting the efforts of businesses that are putting AEDs in their businesses.
We should also mention, people go back on the Facebook page, there's a link to a conversation that I had a couple of weeks ago with folks from Children's Hospital about Project Adam.
Right. Yeah. Tracy and Allie were up here and did a great job explaining. And I don't think a lot of people that are in the community may know, but all the schools in the West Bend School District are heart-safe schools. So their staff has been trained on CPR. There's AEDs available in all the schools, and it improves the chances of survival. Let's say, again, we are a paramedic service with the West Bend Fire Department, have a lot of great tools and medications available for to help out those things. But early CPR, early access defibrillation are the two key elements in improving patient outcomes. And if there's something that happens in the schools, it's going to be a greater chance of survival for somebody that has a cardiac event in a school.
One thing that stuck in my mind from the Project Adam conversation, one of the things that they really try to get the schools to do is make sure someone is maintaining those AEDs, making sure that the battery is charged, making sure that the pads, apparently the pads expire, making sure that everything is current so that it's there if you need it. And that may be just a good subtle reminder to businesses who have them in their business, too. If you bought one 7 years ago and stuck it on the wall and plugged it in, you might want to just go check it.
Right. And yeah, it's because like the battery, battery will need to be charged every once in a great while if it's not used. But there's actually a health indicator on that battery. So as you walk by the a lot of them have cabinets that they're stored in, cabinets with alarms, and you'll be able to see physio control ones will have a little OK signal. And if it's not, if you don't see the OK, if you see a little red battery marker, that becomes time to either replace or recharge the battery. Check the defibrillator pads. Those do expire. And it's actually not the pads that expire. What happens is when they seal a package, that is determining that they the glue on the pads itself are going to stick. And so there's a expectation that they will last only so long.
Okay.
And so that's what's actually expiring is the glue that sticks those patches to the person's chest. So that stuff only lasts so long, even though it's sealed, but longer it's, because if you open it up, then obviously it dries out quicker.
Right.
And make sure to check every once in a while, make sure to check those patches to make sure that they are not expired.
Yeah. See, it doesn't do any good to have it there if it doesn't work when you need it.
Right. Exactly.
All right.
So control of risk factors for heart disease. Make sure to eat healthy. So according to the American Heart Association, the facts on fat. So unsaturated fats, so like your salmon, your olive oil, and avocados, lowers rates of cardiovascular and all-cause mortality, lowers bad cholesterol and triglyceride levels, and provides essential fats for your body's needs, but it can't produce itself. Then, of course, there's saturated fats. So that's dairy products like butter and cheese. Increases the risk of cardiovascular disease and raises bad cholesterol levels. And then there's also the artificial trans fat, hydrogenated oils, and tropical oils, which increase the risk of heart disease and raises bad cholesterol levels. Sugars. So as much as I should stop, I mean, I love my Dr. Pepper every morning, but I should really cut out the soda. Sugars are bad for you. The American Heart Association recommends limiting added sugars to not more than 100 calories a day. So that's about 6 teaspoons for most women, and no more than 150 calories a day, or 9 teaspoons for most men. And salt. So on average, American adults eat more than 3,400 milligrams of sodium daily, more than double the American Heart Association's recommended limit of 1,500 milligrams. Excess sodium increases a person's risk for high blood pressure, which can lead to heart disease and stroke. Other controllable risk factors include tobacco use, alcohol, and exercise. So limit your tobacco. Actually, eliminate tobacco. Tobacco is not good for you. Alcohol. So an occasional Pabst Blue Ribbon probably isn't bad. Excess alcohol is probably going to be bad for you.
And it depends on which study you read on whether or not a glass of wine a day is good for you or not.
Right.
And it all factors. It's just part of your overall health picture, I guess.
Right, right. So you do want to limit alcohol, but anything in excess is bad for you. So try to, too much alcohol is bad. Not enough exercise is bad. So make sure to exercise. Get, 30 minutes a day, 4 days a week, I believe is the recommendation. And then, of course, age and family history are a non-controllable risk factor. So obviously the older you are or a family history of heart disease is are factors that you have to look out for.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. So other prevention things. So we'll move on to we probably don't have time to talk about National Condom Week, which starts February 14th, which is Valentine's Day. So even though National Condom Week doesn't deal with anything fire EMS related, however, it is prevention. So we can throw that in there as a prevention act.
There we go. Yeah. And that just about wraps us up.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're pretty much done. So for that.
So
for next month, we've got Brain Injury Awareness Month. So I think we're going to try to work with the Brain Injury Alliance of Wisconsin to bring somebody in. Probably talk about ice safety, maybe some spring wildfire month, some spring wildfire safety stuff. But May is Wildfire Awareness Month. So I think what we'll do is we'll just talk about spring wildfires briefly, even though there's nothing on here that I talk about briefly. And so we'll talk about that, but then we'll hit it in May. But May is a busy month. I might come back twice in May because not only is May Wildfire Awareness Month, it's also Water Safety Month. It's also Stroke Awareness Month. And Arson Awareness Week is during May. And EMS Week is during May. So I may have to come in twice because I don't think you have like 2 hours for me to sit here. And then we'll also talk about the one of the fires I talk about every year, the Triangle Shirtwaist Fire of March 25th, 1911. 145 people perished in that fire. So we'll talk about that next month as well.
All right. And again, thank you for coming in.
Hey,
Fireman Kenny.
Thanks for having me. I really enjoy coming in. I really enjoy the show. I'm hoping people are getting stuff out of it. And so we are trying to do as many things as possible. There's so many safety tips out there in every category that the West Bend Fire Department is involved in, whether it's fire, whether it's emergency medical services related, whether it's hazardous materials, no matter what. I could spend 24 hours a day, 7 days a week talking safety tips. We just don't have time to get all the tips out there for everybody. And everybody's leading busy lives and everybody has a lot of stuff going on. And so as many safety tips as I can get out there, I hope that it gives somebody something to think about and keeps them safer and leading more productive lives.
You know, and again, people say, but that's all common sense. Well, it can't be all that common if you have to keep constantly reminding people.
Right. Well, and it happens. I mean, you think so 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for how many years someone lives, something bad's going to happen. It just is the luck of the draw. But if you can reduce those risk factors to make your luck a little better, make your own luck. So that's a we'll have to add that one as a tagline somewhere.
There we go.
Make your own luck and reduce the risk factors so that things don't happen to you and things don't happen to others.
And again, I just want a little shout out to not only you, but to everybody else on the fire department, ambulance crew, so on and so forth. I know they were out a lot in that cold weather last week.
Oh, yeah.
There were a lot of calls and crews rolling all the time and out in not all that pleasant conditions. So
no, there was
appreciate
one,
that.
Yeah, there was one of the days all four ambulances were out. People were coming in on callback. So I've talked about that, how we carry pagers on our off days. And not only were all four ambulances out, so we were at full staffing that day. So we didn't have anybody off on vacation or on sick leave or anything like that. And so the three primary ambulances were out. The two remaining guys at station one and myself were out on the fourth ambulance. Then there was a fire alarm. So the off-duty guys took the fire alarm. And then right after that, as things were starting to get cleaned up, then Med 11 took another ambulance call as they were heading back from the hospital. So it was bitter cold, brutally cold. And but everything got handled because of the dedication to the people that are guys that were off duty coming in and being able to handle those calls.
So again, appreciate it.
Yep, thank you.
All righty. Let's see. We'll see you at some point in March, I guess.
Oh yeah, well March for sure.
101.3 WIBD AM 1470 Community Conversation with Fireman Kenny from the West Bend Fire Department.